Martial Arts Movie Podcast.
Ha-ha! I threw that shit before I walked in the room!
Yeah! Featuring drunken Thai boxer, Will.
Too bad you will die.
The also drunken wrestler, Mark.
I said I don't want trouble!
And drunken karate master, Zero.
You've lost your boss.
And now...
Call.
I know kung fu.
You know, baby.
Fists of Fail.
New month, new theme, right, Zero? What is our theme this month? Maybe you were sick last week because you were around a bunch of kids, and kids have lots of germs, and this month's theme is kids. This is terrible, but that is my intro for today's episode.
Are you trying to imply we should beat our children?
Wait, what? No way. Whoa. That is not where we're going at all.
We should kick kids because we need to kick out those germs, right?
Yeah, sure. you completely took that a different direction. Okay, well, yes, today we're starting a new month, and the theme of this month is Children's Month, right? Is it like Children's Month, like officially?
Something along those lines.
Some sort of holiday.
I just wanted to watch movies where kids get beat up and or kick ass. I'm hoping for the latter because, you know, I don't want to see children really get hurt unless it's funny. But yes, our new theme is children's. I mean, not really. It doesn't have to be children's martial arts movies, but generally when you have kids fighting, they tend to skew towards a younger audience for obvious reasons.
Well, yeah. You want to, like, I don't know, they basically become a surrogate for the audience, right? So if it's a kid, you're like, oh, I'm like that kid too. So yeah, today we're talking about Three Ninjas.
Hey.
Not to be confused with Ninja 3 The Domination, which is another movie that we may want to talk about one day and is completely batshit insane.
We watched that, and I think we mentioned it in our like year-end roundup.
Yes, we did. And this is also not to be confused with Surf Ninjas, another movie that's catered towards kids. There are a lot of ninja movies in the early 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, that movie had Ernie Reyes Jr., which, I mean, we recovered Ernie pretty recently, so I think I'm pretty tapped out with Ernie. But anyways, today we're talking about Three Ninjas, and as a little treat, especially since last week we couldn't do an episode for said reason, we're going to cover, briefly at least, all of them.
Yay. The Three Ninjas quadrilogy?
Quadrilogy, yes.
Yeah. I've been wanting to talk about what at least one of these movies in some sort of context, because they very much are martial arts movies. And I watched the first one and with you, and we thought, oh, you know, that was all right. Maybe we could talk about it. I watched the second one. I was like, oh no, that was no good.
You have to elaborate what you mean by second one, right?
Right. So with these movies, they actually film them in a certain order and then release them out of order. So when I say the second movie, I say the second movie, which came next in how it was released, which is Three Ninjas Kickback. That's when they go to Japan. That's pretty much what that movie is known for. And then I watched the third movie, which was actually the second one filmed, All the Kids and the Grandfather Return. This is Three Ninjas Knuckle Up. And I thought, holy crap, there's a lot of fighting in this. And it's actually not that bad for children fighting. And I thought, okay, I want to talk about this movie, but it'll be weird if we just talk about this movie and it's part three out of, like, you know, four films.
That's not the first time we've done that. Yeah. But yeah.
Right. I mean, we'll never talk about the other ones, probably. So, you know, we can kind of combine it all. And then closing it out, the fourth film is Three Ninjas High Noon at Mega Mountain. Probably one of the
worst. With Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan, one of the worst reviewed films of the series. And then, like, in general, it doesn't have a good review. It's actually not that bad, but it is kind of forgettable, yeah.
Okay, well, you know, like, I'm a hack fraud, so I will say I actually only watched the first three. Couldn't get around to watching the third one, especially since I really did not like Kickback. That was the one that, like, I had a lot of trouble sitting through. they're not catered towards people like us, right? Like, they're catered towards children. And, you know, even if you put yourself in the right mindset, I found the third one really hard to watch. The first two movies, and what I mean by that is the first one and Knuckle Up. They're all starring the same exact performers, but also they feel like there's some degree of like respecting your intelligence, I guess. Whereas Kickback, it really did feel like they dumbed it down by a lot. I don't know. That's the way I felt. And how does High Noon compare to that?
Well, the funny thing with High Noon is it's Die Hard at an amusement park.
Really?
Yeah. Basically, terrorists take over an amusement park where the three ninjas are visiting. Mm-hmm. And they're there to see a TV show personality who plays a martial artist screen. Who happens to be Hulk Hogan, which is weird because Hulk Hogan is a martial artist. He was, an American wrestler. And he doesn't do martial arts in the movie. He still does, like, wrestling moves. But they go there to see him. And coincidentally, terrorists are there to hold the park hostage and demand money from the park owner.
Do you not know how amusement parks, like, hemorrhage money?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense too, because yes, they have a whole bunch of henchmen, corralling parts of the park, but easily anybody could escape. It doesn't really make sense, and it's just okay. It's not as bad as like all the reviews say it is. It's just it's just okay.
Yeah. Again, they're not. You have to kind of give it a little bit of like leeway because these are catered towards children, and this is the early 90s, so there's a lot of like ripping off of Home Alone.
That's a big thing in this series. I feel like Home Alone was popular. You can see it a lot in the first movie where there is a home invasion scene, and literally it's them setting up booby traps with a ninja flair or a ninja edge to it.
But anyways, the first one, like, it really does feel like the Home Alone thing is like the centerpiece of that. Even I don't get that so much in Kickback, and Knuckle Up has a little like a parts of it, but like I think the reason why Knuckle Up is probably the best in terms of like the, well, I think like the overall all some of its parts is because it doesn't, it's more oriented towards the action. I think that's the reason why we're probably going to talk about that in the Patreon section. But that's obviously not, we're not going to ignore the other movies. I think there's enough to talk about for each individual film, at least. Yeah. And this was 90, I think the first one came out in 91, 92? I think 91. This was like, no, 92. I remember this because we were watching this. I looked it up and I was like, this was released 1 year before UFC 1, and it's very obvious that it is before UFC 1, because this is during a time when the world, especially America, knew nothing about martial arts. Like, nothing. The East was mystical and very, very, like, magical. Like, everything about the series screams, like feng shui, like fake Asian, kind of vibes to it, especially since they're doing they're all ninjas, but they study karate. Like, no one does any ninjutsu.
I mean, in the third movie, they kind of craft weapons and they're infiltrating a base at night. That felt the most ninja out of all the series.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, they're doing Hollywood martial arts for the screen. It doesn't feel like ninja, but that's okay. You gotta throw the whole thing out because aren't ninjas technically like hired mercenaries anyway? Yeah. And they're turning them into a children's series, so you gotta kind of look past the details like that.
And I mean, like, the reason why we're talking about this at all is because I mean, like, obviously there's good choreography, you know, like, it's sprinkled throughout the movie. Well, at least for Knuckle Up, at least. I didn't find that so much in the first movie. It is there, but, like, it really does shine in Knuckle Up. I think that's because, what's his name? I just had his name just up. It was, Charlie Cow. Yeah, he was the second unit director for the first movie, but he got upgraded to fight choreographer / action choreographer or coordinator for, like, depending on, like, which movie we're talking about. And after that, like, it's, you can definitely, like, notice that the quality of action actually does improve as the movies, like, go on. But I think Knuckle Up does have the best ones because it does just, it just focuses on the performers.
Yeah.
The little kids, I mean.
Yeah, that's one of the impressive things about Knuckle Up. I mean, all the if you look at all of them, all the children performers, because it's not all the kids all the time, the same actors, mm-hmm. I mean. Mm-hmm. All the kid performers are doing a lot of their own moves. Like, yes, some of the choreography is very, very simple. Mm-hmm. But if you look at Knuckle Up, you're just like, wow, like, this got really complicated for yep. kids. So yep. that's why, like, the third movie is really impressive. But that's why I wanted to talk about that one more.
Right, right, right. Yeah, and I know, what is it? This was TriStar. TriStar is owned by Disney, if I correctly, right? It was Touchstone. I know Touchstone is part Disney. And then I guess, like, TriStar got the rights for the sequel and the other three sequels. That's why, like, we have all those cartoony sound effects in the sequels, because they thought that Knuckle Up was too violent.
Oh, man, that's something that happens throughout the whole series. Mm-hmm. They have the music kind of dictating the mood, so it's mm-hmm. super whimsical. lots of, like, you know, like, wind instruments to make it feel happy-go-lucky.
Yep.
So it never feels like people are really getting hurt.
Yeah, of course. Well, again, it's a kids' movie, right? You can show off the kids being, you know, badass, but you can't show consequence for the violence, right? It's not violence per se.
In the first movie, when I was rewatching it, there's a moment where the grandfather throws a knife. Mm-hmm. To kind of save the kids because someone's approaching them from behind. And the knife goes into the bad guy. But they have, like, a boing sound effect when it plays. And I was just flabbergasted. I was like, oh, man, that guy got stabbed and he's dead. And they played a cartoon sound effect over it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That what you just described describes this whole series. And mm-hmm. I'm probably going to describe a lot of the American production, you know, productions that we're going to cover this month, so stay tuned for that. But yeah, the first movie, I mean, all the movies are directed by different directors, but, you know, the first one was directed by John Turteltaub. He did National Treasure, Cool Runnings, The Meg. Great movie.
Didn't you say that John Turteltaub, that's the turtle character from BoJack Horseman? That's who it was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what everyone speculates. Like, he's, like, an amalgamation of him and Harry Turtle, the Turtle Dove? Oh, Dove? Whatever his name. But, yeah, I mean, the second movie was... I was looking up this movie. We're talking about Knuckle Up. The second movie, not only does the poster... It's a poster of the... an image of the three performers, like, kicking at the screen. It reminds me of Beverly Hills Ninja. And any movie that reminds me of Beverly Hills Ninja immediately gives me, like, PTSD. But,
oh, you're right, because they're coming from Japan. Well, they're going to Japan. He came from Japan to go to America.
Yeah, yeah, the poster especially, too. Yeah, Knuckle Up. Also, that one is directed by Shin Sang-ok. I looked him up. Apparently, he was kidnapped by North Korea in the 70s.
Yeah, that was crazy. To do propaganda films. That was so crazy. I mean, in the IMDb trivia, mm-hmm. Three Ninjas Kickback was apparently the North Korean leader's favorite film.
Yeah, that's the third movie.
And then I wonder if that's... I don't think it... I think it's just coincidence that he happened to kidnap the third film director.
Yeah.
And made him do that. A North Korean propaganda movie. That's fucked up.
Yeah, of course. I love how Shan Sang-ok, he comes back from North Korea after doing, you know, propaganda films. and he's being tortured in North Korea. He comes back, he's like, I need to tell my story. I'm going to make Three Ninjas knuckle up.
Well, he did it. He made Three Ninjas knuckle up afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Or before, exactly. before.
No, I think he was kidnapped in the 70s.
Oh, so, in the 70s. Oh.
70s, yeah. Mm. Like 76 or something like that. But, yeah. And then I think another indicator of like why the action's better in... I mean, not that it is an indicator, but it does indicate that the action is slightly more violent, a little bit more aggressive in Knuckle Up, because the MPAA rated it as PG-13.
Oh, right.
Which
right,
is yeah. weird. That's weird. It's because, a kid's like, imagine movie, watching this. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Knuckle Up gets pretty, it gets pretty intense at times, and there are some crazy stunts in there.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So yeah. I can see why, but then why have it be a kids movie at that point?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it probably was like they were probably already into production. They had this choreography. They were like pretty far into the editing, and they had their final product, and you know, they just could not edit it down to pass ratings, right?
So yeah, yeah.
That's unfortunate, because like obviously they have a demographic they're trying to cater towards. Like, imagine being trying to watch this movie. Like, sorry, you gotta be 13,
right? And you're like this 9-year-old kid, but it's Three Ninjas. I saw the first two.
Sorry, you're not sophisticated enough to watch this movie. Your humor, your sense of humor. yeah. So I guess just to elaborate a little bit more on what you mentioned before. So yeah, Knuckle Up and Kick Back. I don't know which one to call the second/third movie. They're like interchangeable, because
say Kick Back is 2, Knuckle Up is 3. Mm-hmm. Don't reverse them. Just do it by when they release.
Because these movies have no chronological order. Period.
They so do.
It's like
when they release. Just go by when they release. You're gonna confuse story wise.
Sure, we're just gonna talk more about Knuckle Up, because I think that's the one we're obviously gonna elaborate a little bit more on.
Right,
I think
right.
The other movies, they're not as they're not as engaging from an action standpoint.
Well, from an action standpoint, the first one I thought was okay. So one thing I wanted to elaborate on was the actors. So I'll just mention the three kid actors who reprised their roles, at least in two films. So it's Michael Trainer, Max Elliott Slade, and then Chad Power. And it's a shame, because they didn't go on to do much else after these movies.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they retired. Michael Trainer, I think he retired right after Knuckle Up. It's funny, like every one of these actors, I kind of have like a they look like lookalikes to me. I kept on saying that to you as we were watching the first movie. Michael Trainer looks like he looks just like Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Mm.
If you remember him from Home Alone, Home Improvement.
They probably had a type like a teen heartthrob type they were going for.
Yeah, yeah. They're like they probably went up to Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Like, can you do karate and taekwondo? No. Well, we found someone who can. So. Hey, right. There you go. And then there's Max Elliott Slade. He's the only one who went on to do 3 movies. He also did Kick Back. And he looks just like Jamie Lee Curtis.
That's what oh my God, describe. You're right. Yes. He's like brother. Like, they have the same kind of facial features. Yeah.
Yeah, if Jamie Lee Curtis had a kid at that time, it would have looked just like him. Yeah, but
I see it.
Yeah, but he also retired after Kick Back or Knuckle Up, whatever. He retired after these movies so he can go back to school. And then Chad Power, I think he's the only one who doesn't. Well, there's not much information on him. He was obviously the youngest one. He was like, and I don't think he did much at all. So I also think that he's the only one of the three that didn't do martial arts. Because like they give him was possibly like the simplest choreography, but at the same time he is the youngest. He's I would say like 6 or 7 maybe.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
looking at him.
So I'm not gonna be too hard on like any of his choreography, or I mean, yeah, or really any of them.
Any of them, yeah. But quite the opposite. I was gonna say I would give a lot of props to both Max and Michael.
Right.
Because they're actually very talented for their age. I think. was it Michael or one of them was a brown belt in karate, and the other one, Michael was the taekwondo and karate black belt, and then like I think at the end of Knuckle Up, and Max was the brown belt in karate, if I'm remembering correctly.
I mean, you definitely see the progression, like they get better from the first to second,
for
third.
Sure.
We have Victor Wong playing the Japanese grandpa.
Yeah, because if there's ever a Japanese character, get someone whose last name is Wong.
Right. Most notable for he's in Tremors and then Big Trouble in Little China.
Yep.
And unfortunately, High Noon at Mega Mountain was his last film.
Yeah. Imagine, a lot of people give Jim Carrey slack for he ended his career he says he ended his career with Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and here's Victor Wong, who unfortunately had no choice but to make this his last movie.
It is what it is. But
it is what it is.
So maybe we should elaborate on the characters overall, because the stories are interchangeable, but the characters are the same throughout.
Mm-hmm.
So every movie is about these three kids, Rocky, Colt, and Tum Tum, as they've been bestowed their nicknames by their grandfather. They go to stay with him during the summer, and he teaches them how to be ninjas. We get the training montages. We get to see him teaching them how to do martial arts, supposedly ninjutsu. Not really, but that's okay. And there's always a sequence of him testing them and them trying to best him in some sort of way. And then the plot comes in, like bad guy does this. They somehow get involved. Grandpa doesn't want them to get involved. He then gets involved with them anyway. Saves them at the end. Maybe doesn't. There's a love interest for the kid characters sometimes. Tum Tum wants to eat something because that's all his character is.
That's basically it. Very, very simple stories in each one of them, and you basically did describe all of them. Like basically every movie it boils down to something like that. But the first movie is about old students of Grandpa's that they fight, and they have to, they fight in best at the end. Grandpa fights him and beats him at the end.
Oh man, that story is so weird. So also something that's going on in the movies are the kid's dad is an FBI agent.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first movie, he's hunting this guy who I guess bought weapons or something like that. And it also turns out that he knows the grandfather, and ultimately the driving force of the bad guy's plot is he wants the grandfather to teach his men ninjutsu, but he already taught his men ninjutsu. Why does he need the grandfather to do it? It doesn't make sense.
Because we wouldn't have a movie, Zero. Because we wouldn't have a movie. And also at the in that movie, the villain is just kicking his ass in every fight scene. And the only reason why Victor Wong's character wins at all is because he shoves a candy in his mouth and basically does a dirty-handed tactic to win.
Well, the bad guy actually did something first. He uses a smoke bomb on him when he's losing.
I don't recall that. That's
what happened. So the grandfather's winning first. The bad guy uses a smoke bomb on him. And so... Mm-hmm. Grandpa uses the jelly beans that Tum Tum gave
him. Oh, jelly beans, that's what it was. Yes.
Shoves them in his mouth and he starts choking, and then he beats the shit out of him.
Yeah, that just proves jelly beans beat smoke bombs any day.
Yeah.
Any given day. And early 90s movies would these be if they didn't have very pandering storylines that you expect from this era? So I think, actually, even though we're talking about Knuckle Up today, I think it's probably the worst perpetrator of them all, because of the subject matter. It's about the three ninjas get involved with a Native American tribe who are trying to get their land back slash prevent like the villain from polluting the planet some more, or something along those lines.
I mean, and it's, yeah, I mean, that's essentially what it is. I think that's kind of good pandering, though, right?
to make and people, you know, aware. What's funny? You know what's funny? Dan Shank, he plays the like one of the Native American like chief leaders. When we were watching this, I was like, oh my god, this movie is like, I made this comment where like, you know, it, like this movie is just like that video of that guy, like, you know, that Native American who like sees like a piece of litter that hits the ground and in like a single tear comes out of his eyeball. You know, like you know that, you know.
Yeah, yeah, this, that's like, a very, very famous advertisement, yeah.
Guess what? That Native American is Dan Shank. Oh,
that's him?
That's actually him. Oh, my God. Jesus. Yeah, I looked him up. I'm like, oh, my God. That's actually the same guy.
Wow.
Okay. So, yeah. Yeah, but, yeah, of course, because...
I mean, hey, you gotta get him young. Let him know that the environment matters because the bad guys... I mean, hey, we're in a place where nobody cares about the climate right now. I think we gotta reach our children.
That's true, but it's kind of... I don't know. I think it's kind of ridiculous in movies, especially early 90s, where it's like Native Americans represent all of like anti-pollution, anti-climate change, whatever. You know, like the 90s had like a very stereotypical view on Native Americans.
Right. They were not the only ones who cared about the environment.
Yeah, yeah.
And but, I mean, you know, somebody needs to care about it, so... Mm-hmm. make them the good people. I don't know. I like this Native American story a lot better than Avatar, so.
Sure. No blue people in this movie. Yes. Yeah. And then, I mean, I could barely finish, whatchamacallit, the, I could barely finish Kickback / Three Ninjas Go to Japan, which was the working title of that film.
I don't know. I kind of liked them going to Japan. I thought it was a fun take on you know, just mixing things up, right? Because you get to see 90s Japan, which is pretty cool. Apparently, yeah, though, true. A lot of the music that was used was Korean, so they fucked up there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and then, I watched that.
I love that Dustin Nguyen. Mm-hmm. Who we've spoken about before. He was in the Vietnamese martial arts movie, The Rebel. Very, very good movie. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He plays an Asian himbo or a male bimbo. And he is just so fucking stupid. All the the henchmen in this movie are so stupid. They embody the Bill and Ted, the Pauly Shore, the SoCal surfer dude mentality. Like, yeah, you know, yeah, awesome, totally. Because you got the villains like that who are trying to kidnap the kids in the first movie.
Yeah.
And then you got Dustin and then his crew in Japan who are just like bumbling idiots like in the second movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then in the third movie, not so much. I think the third movie is weakest when it comes to henchmen because they're very forgettable. They don't really do much.
Are you talking about Mega Mountain?
No, I'm talking about the third movie, which is Knuckle Up.
Knuckle Up, okay. Yeah, I don't remember the henchmen at all in that.
That's what I mean. Yeah, they're like the most regrettable. In Knuckle Up, one of the henchmen is played by Jim Varney.
Really?
Yeah, who you may know as Ernest. You know, Ernest goes to jail. Ernest really? Goes stupid, yeah.
How did I not notice that?
He's like a sub-boss, though. He's not like a dumb henchman. He's... he's kind of like more like a sub boss, and then they have the dumb bumbling idiots underneath them in the fourth movie. They got the big fat one that's like the different one. Yeah.
for sure Well, the since you're talking about the like recycling things from the first movie, because I did notice that, like, you know, we had like almost like the bumbling idiots. I mean, each one of them has the bumbling idiot goons, right? Yeah. But I felt like the Three Ninjas Kickback, those goons were too similar to the goons from the first movie. Like, the mannerisms, the way that they talk.
Oh, they're exactly the same, except it was just like an they're supposed to be Japanese, but Dustin Nguyen is not Japanese.
Yeah. No, but because it was so... It just felt like they're trying so hard to recapture what happened in the first movie.
Oh, yeah,
like,
most definitely.
Retread a lot of stuff, except now they're playing baseball. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's basically, like the thing that... You know, like, in the first movie, it was because... the C plot or D plot was that there was a bike being stolen and they want to retrieve it from the bullies. And here it's like, well, now you have a baseball game and they want to beat the bullies in it. But then it all culminates into fighting the bullies in the end.
Yeah.
I don't want to go too deep into it, but it just really felt like it was trying so hard to be like the first movie again, mm-hmm. but just like change it. You know, it was probably like Mad Libs with that movie. It was just like, instead of baseball, instead of, whatchamacallit, we'll just do baseball instead.
Right. Well, so with that movie, with them going to Japan, I liked the new character, Mio. I thought she was a cool addition. She was, a female, changed things up. She was actually the best of them all. Like, they were going to Japan to learn from a ninja master, mm-hmm. and she actually teaches them. So it's kind of cool that they're not speaking down to her, because she's actually their teacher in that movie, and she's teaching them ninjutsu and all that fun stuff. But I just remember the fights not being that good in that one. Like, it felt like kind of sloppy,
yeah.
and messy.
It was very bad, yeah. And that's one thing I noticed about that too, was the action took a huge nosedive. I don't know what's going on. Like, because like I'm what the since Knuckle Up was filmed before Kickback, I wonder like how much earlier, because like Max Elliott Slade looks identical, so I'm like wonder if
yeah,
they
still looks pretty
maybe
young.
Filmed yeah I mean he did have a huge growth spurt between the first movie and Knuckle Up, because he is taller than Michael Trainer by the time Knuckle Up was in production. So, like, yeah, like, I'm wondering if, like, Max was just on set for both movies. It could be, right? Like, once production was like, all right, let's try something new, and let's make the action, you know, awesome for anyone to enjoy. And then the other one's like, let's just do what we did last time. But in Japan.
Yeah. I think it has to do with the director then, because I believe the action choreographer stayed the same from the second through the fourth movie. So I think it's that director who's, you know, trying to focus more on the action, and then maybe making things more kid friendly, like towards the end, especially in like the fourth movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, like, maybe, well, for some reason, Kim Jong-un loves Kickback. So he must have a solid reason for it. I don't know. Maybe that's what they play to torture all the, you know, all their citizens there.
Oh boy.
All right, we're gonna go back to talking about Knuckle Up more in detail, because yes, we, like you said before, there's more, probably more and higher quality fighting in this movie, especially with the two leads. So I think that's basically it, unless there's anything else you want to talk about before we go into the action.
No, we can go into it. Yep, so, okay. If you want to hear us break down all the action for Three Ninjas Knuckle Up, there's actually a lot of it. This is not something I was expecting going into a Three Ninjas movie, but there is a lot of fights, like almost too many. I tend to say that a lot sometimes, but sometimes we cover a movie and there's like two fights. And we, yep. you know, we can drone on about it, but then in this movie... Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fucking fights, so if you want to hear us talk about all of it, make sure you follow us on Patreon. You can find us under Fists of Fail, and yeah, you can get the whole episode.
Yep. Okay, well, and we're going to talk more about the story, so you'll hear the ad break somewhere around here. Okay, how does this one start? I'm trying to remember exactly, because all I recall is that, they're driving, I think. They're just driving into a new town, if I remember correctly. Like, Victor Wong is, you know, like, driving and everything. And the three kids notice, there's, like, a Native American rally. And that, you know, like, we get introduced to Christy Lightning's character, who is, like, a little girl. She is, like, the daughter of the Native American chief, who was apparently kidnap. Wow, I actually do remember all this stuff. I thought I didn't know. There you go. I was like, wait. I was like, oh yeah. I was like, I don't know the story.
You know, let me tell you the story. It's actually not that complicated. Yeah.
And it's actually one of my favorite movies of all time. Yeah.
No, but that's exactly what it is. They notice a rally. They kind of go there because they want to help. Mm-hmm. And this is where the plot unravels. It's a very, very simple story. Basically, evil corporation is dumping on Native American ground. They technically do own the land, but it's affecting the Native American people. It's poisoning them. It's making them sick, whatnot. They're trying to stop it. And so the three ninjas, being the good kids that they are, they want to help out.
Yeah. And it's movies like this, which is very, it's a very common trope. The grandpa / mentor character will always say, don't get involved. Don't use your violence. And then there's just like, usually in movies like this, like there's like a light bulb moment. And it's like the mentor learns his ways. He's like, we need to get involved. Like the students are right. Yada, yada, yada. There's never a moment like that in this movie that he just gets involved for some reason and you don't know why.
Well, I mean, he knows what they're up to. He's not an idiot, right?
Yeah, but, you know, like, well, throughout the beginning of the movie, he's like, no, don't get involved. Like, don't use your violence. Don't use your ninja skills. Even though I'm teaching you ninja skills for absolutely no reason, don't use them.
Well,
in any practical sense.
Right. So basically, the theme of the movie is you can be a hero, but you shouldn't be doing it for yourself. You should be doing it for other people. And I guess he feels that the kids are doing it because they like the fame of helping people out. I think that's kind of what happened in the first fight of the film when they save the girl in the pizza place.
Yes.
So he wants them to be, you know, good people for the sake of being a good person, not because you want the celebrity status of it or whatever.
Sure. Sure. That's fair. I mean, that's basically, that is literally what happens in this first fight. So just to set it up a little bit more. Yeah. We have Colt and we have Tum Tum, Max and Chad. What a Chad he is. The two of them are fighting against like three goons who are picking on this little girl played by Christy Lightning, like I said before.
Oh man, this scene, it's so frustrating to watch because it's grown men harassing this little girl. And then it cuts to a shot of adults, like a sea of white adults, just doing nothing. And then she finally gets thrown on the floor, and then like a few of them stand up, and the guy's like, whoa, what are you going to do? And they're like, oh, we don't want any trouble.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen that so many times. Yeah. It's not cool. Like, even as a play thing, it's like, oh, seeing someone like abuse a child, even pretending, but it's like, it's uncomfortable. But of course, that sets it up so that the two of them, both with pizzas in hand, like an entire fresh pie, like on a tray in their hands, it's a good setup for them to be able to kick these guys' asses without dropping the pies. And the entire time, I just thought there was going to be a pizza in the face.
Well, of course, there has to be.
It never happens, and I got so disappointed. It's like, you really disappointed me, movie. But no, it's fine. Like, they actually make it work for some, somehow. But I would say that the action here isn't quite up to snuff with the rest of the movie. Especially since, like, it's the first fight in the movie. And, like, I think it's the environment, too. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they do have these pizzas in their hands, like, it's very limiting. But there are, like, definitely highlights of this particular scene as well, though.
Yeah, so that's one of the things I wanted to point out. And something I noticed while watching these movies, I think either somebody figured it out already or maybe these movies did, probably somebody else, but giving kids props in the fight choreography, I think really helps to sell, like, oh, these kids can fight, and then it gives them something to work with. It gives the stuntmen something to react off of And then it also helps it to keep it within the kid-friendly range because when it's just punches and kicks hitting the face and hitting the body, that can be too adult, I guess, for the MPAA, for example. And so, but when it's like you have like somebody getting hit over the head with a tray and then you add a goofy sound effect, that can help to like diminish that. So throughout the course of the movie, like, people are just, they're constantly using props. And it's funny because even though some of the props can feel more painful, or probably more painful than a kick to the face, they probably did that intentionally to maybe, you know, keep that kid-friendly feeling and lower the rating anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the sound effects like definitely added to it.
Like the boing.
Although I will say, boing. Yeah. Like the very, like, it sounds like Goofy, like, stepping on a rake or something like that, mm-hmm. and hitting his face. Like those kind of things. No, well, here's the thing. This movie, I don't know about the other movies, but apparently this one, I might be confusing with the first movie. I know in the first movie, they had an international version. And that one didn't have as many sound effects, according to what they said in the IMDb. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, that one is apparently, you know, the movie has a cult following. So, like, people love that movie. You know, like, they probably reference the international version because it probably catered to a wider audience. Like, a, you know, more mature audience. But whatever. Why am I talking about the first movie? So, like, regardless of the sound effects, you know, like, you definitely see, like, as the movie progresses, the action does get a little bit more mature. This first one, not so much. I think it's a lot more, all of them are very, you know, kid-oriented, but this one specifically. We have things that are inspired by other martial arts movies.
I was getting a feel of a lot. Like the prop stuff feels like Jackie when he's putting the... Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He puts the tray on the guy's head, turns around, mm-hmm. kicks the other guy, turns around, takes it back, kicks it off, and kicks him. I was like, oh, you know, that's cool. They're making comedy out of it. It's very lighthearted. It doesn't mm-hmm. feel too violent, but it is. But, you know, it's kid-friendly, so it's kind of fun. The timing is not there because, you know, they're kids. They're doing it at their pace. Thankfully, there's no speed ramping. This looks shot all to normal speed. So they are very fast, but when it comes to that timing, like if this was Jackie, like, you know, it would be like boom, boom, boom. It would be on like a certain rhythm. So he's getting all those beats, and then he would be highlighting it like at the end for something big. Here, they're kind of going with emotions, but I think it's still very impressive that they're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, same reason why you wouldn't like make fun of like a child for their acting ability. You know, like, I guess like that also applies to their physical performance as well. They, you know, they're still very talented martial artists, but like if they do mess it up every once in a while, like, it's okay. You know, like, you just kind of let it slide.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, again, you know, like, not mess it up, but, you know, like, if they're not hitting the rhythm, it's like, it's rather than being perfectionist.
Exactly.
About it,
like, it's just, like, it doesn't, know, like, kind it of, doesn't always look so smooth, and you just gotta mm-hmm. kind of forgive it because there's moments when it's like, okay, yeah, those wrist manipulations, like, you know, it's slow, mm-hmm. it's a little sloppy, that's fine.
Yeah.
But then you just pay attention to where it gets better, and you're just like, holy shit, I'm surprised these kids are doing it. So
yeah,
that's what.
Yeah,
I like
yeah, 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 yeah. And I do definitely appreciate that. Like, given that you can tell that these people who are on the receiving end of the hits, like all these stunt people, the goons, I mean, you can tell that they're just waiting their turn. You know, like they do their thing and then they wait for the kids to hit their mark so they can react to it. I mean, it's fine. It's completely understandable because, like, you know, you're in the realm of kids' film. Mm-hmm. So,
ooh,
whatever.
That's one thing I wanted to talk about.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We're at the point where we give our recommendations, but there's a whole wealth of audio you would be listening to here if you follow us on Patreon. There you can listen to the entire episode, including an exclusive action breakdown of the fights in the movie. But you can still support us by liking us on all the things and watch this and other episodes on YouTube with visual cues to accompany our discussion. And now on to our final thoughts.
So that's Three Ninjas Knuckle Up?
Knuckle Up. Yeah, that's Three Ninjas Knuckle Up. well, okay, since it'd be very unfair to say like, oh, well, if you want to watch children's movies, then, you know, like, of course... you know, like, but as a standalone movie that, you know, without that context, it's not worth watching. Obviously, that's going to be a weird criteria, a weird way to contextualize these movies. But, I don't know. It's a weird, because since we are doing this theme, we are, you know, like, covering children's movies. For a children's movie, I'd say that the action's surprisingly good. You know, it's impressive at times.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I wanted to try and review these. Like, what do you think of it as an action movie, with the caveat understanding that, you know, it's for children? And then what do you think of it as a children's movie?
Well, as a children's movie, I don't watch children's movies normally.
Let me rephrase that. Like, do you think you could show this to kids? Do you think they would like it? Do you think this would get kids interested in martial arts?
I can tell you my opinion, which is maybe, but if we're talking about historically, I mean, we know that the first movie actually is responsible for a bunch of karate, like, studios or dojos actually getting, like, thanking the movie for, you know, like, what it contributed to, you know, like, the popularity of karate a lot. Like, that first movie is actually a big hit. That was actually a financial success. The sequels were all bombs. Like, every one of them did not do well. But I don't know. For this movie, I don't know what contributed to the financial failure of it. Maybe it's the fact that it was a sequel. Maybe it was the fact that it was at least 3 years, 4 years after the fact. I don't know. So I think the first one's a little bit more, like, digestible.
I was going to say, like, the first movie is, like, it's a breeze to sit through. It's so easy. As a children's movie, it's not boring. It's just like, okay, this is for kids, but I can still sit through and watch it. The first movie in theaters as a kid. So that was a perfect demographic for it. And I remember thinking that this is too kiddie for me, but I liked that they were doing martial arts. And I think I was already in martial arts or invested in martial arts at the time. I think that's why I wanted to see it. I saw it and I thought it skewed a little too young, but I didn't think it was horrible. I thought it was like, oh, okay, this is maybe for, like, somebody younger than me.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, I guess as a kid, like, as fitting the criteria of, like, if it's a good children's movie, it works, you know, for children. I mean, we're not children, but whatever. I think it's maybe not so much for children as, like, the first movie is. I think the first movie still, like, in terms of, like, being able to digest the film, I think the first movie still succeeds. But in terms of action, I think this movie's clearly the winner here. Like, I don't think it's even comes close.
We're talking about Three Ninjas, Knuckle Up, the third movie.
Yes, Knuckle Up versus the first movie. Not Kickback, not High Noon at Mega Mountain. I don't think, well, I didn't see the last one, but I don't think Kickback has good action, period. But, like, as a personal recommendation, maybe just watch the action. I think the movie itself is actually, like, I mean, unless you have a kid around and you want to show them, like, maybe get them interested in, like you said, maybe you can like stoke those flames and get them into it. But if that's a case, I think that kids in general wouldn't be so interested in martial arts choreography, so they'd probably be more interested in the first movie. But from a martial arts standpoint, it's clearly Knuckle Up's clearly the superior film.
Yep.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Well, don't die there.
it's weird. I think you could watch the third movie. You just have to go into the mindset that, okay, yeah, this is made for kids, and then be surprised that these kids are kicking ass. It is just incredible what they're able to do. Obviously, you kind of have to temper your expectations a little bit, but it is very clear that they are capable. And I wanted to talk about this. As soon as I watched it, I was like, fuck no, this is the one we had to talk about. Even though there is some decent choreography sprinkled throughout the other movies, I think in terms maybe, like, the first one might have some okay, and then High Noon might have a little bit, and the second one's the weakest in my opinion. But the kids are capable, and I think if you are just, like, a normal martial arts fan, I say give the movie a chance. Yes, the story is very straightforward. It's a little more kid friendly, but the action is surprising considering their age. I think it's still impressive what they can do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean that's basically not debatable. I think that, you know, this the action and the fact that like it is so impressive that it's the actual kids doing the stunts. And the fight, no, not stunts, but the fight choreography in this movie, and it's their fight choreography is accelerated from the first movie, definitely adds to the enjoyability factor. But I don't know, nothing's gonna beat the cheese that is the first movie where Grandpa is just doing a bunch of flips. Like, nothing's gonna top that.
Well, at least just, nobody in this movie got fed laxatives. And then their ball just pooping in the bathroom and then getting their ass kicked by the kids later.
Oh my god, that did happen. Oh my, how did I forget that?
How could you forget a good laxative joke? Those are the best.
Oh god, yeah. I was actually expecting him to just... No one knows what the hell we're talking about. Just go watch the first movie if you're very interested.